Welcome to the Work Dynamics Podcast, your source for information related to modern business workflows. I am your host, Scott Williams, along with my co-host, Grant Bifolci. Today's topic, the trials, tribulations, and seemingly global acceptance of high SharePoint costs. Grant, it's a pleasure as always. This is going to be an interesting topic today, I think, just for the fact that SharePoint is obviously such a, I'll call it hot topic. Obviously, just, you know, within the title of our podcast today, there's also just if we short it down to the acceptance of SharePoint. SharePoint is something that is fairly ubiquitous across the business domain, I will say, both for government and enterprise. And it's a, I think there's a, and how do I put this? There, it is woven into our social fabric to just know that SharePoint costs a lot to customize. And so on that note, here's where I'd like to start the conversation today. And it's in between the customization versus configuration mindset. And let's start with the customization scenario on SharePoint. As you and I both know, and we've talked about this a lot offline as well, is that there seems to be a, it is really a deep, dark hole of customization that can happen in SharePoint. I mean, obviously, it's a fantastic platform. You can do anything with it, but the anything with it seems to be backing a dump truck full of money up to the door of those in an industry that is primed to charge a lot of money to customize SharePoint. So let's start on that topic. Is that, what are your thoughts on that as far as the customization thing in SharePoint? Is there a reason why this is so expensive? Let's start there.
Well, I mean, there's a couple different aspects to it. And without getting into trying to extrapolate the deltas in, you know, cost per employee or cost per consultant, the real issues, in my opinion, come down to a couple of different variables that are very hard to pin down. And those variables, in my opinion, are, one, most times the client, as much as they understand their process, they don't really have an all-encompassing view of the process. And so anytime that you try and develop a piece of software or customize a piece of software, it's only as good as the moment that you sign the document that says, this is what I want. And what happens after is that there's a lot of changes to what your requirements might be. It could be lack of foresight. It could be lack of understanding of the process, or it could just be fundamental business change. And so it's very, very difficult to be able to compete with what I would consider to be a COTS product, which may not have everything exactly as you'd like it to be, but generally has as much or potentially more than you need. And it's been all thought out and experienced and tested and put in play in the real world. You're customizing a solution to try and adapt to a business process or something that you're trying to build in SharePoint. And there's a lot of time and effort that goes into building solutions that is unseen, except for when they round out the price as far as a product to be delivered. So basically, you're going through a trial process that many companies have gone through for years and years and years with lots of experience to build something and put it in place and try and compete with a packaged piece of software. So the relative costs are exponential, and that comes down to just the first avenue of the client understanding the business process. The second is the translation between what the client wants to put in place and what the coder, or let's say the developer, can do, and also the communication factor that lies in between, because that's a variable as well. So this is what I want. This is what I thought you want. This is what I'm getting. This is not exactly what I thought I was getting. So there's those kinds of variables that we have to account for. But more than anything, it really comes down to companies have spent, you know, a lot of money to put a solution in place and work through all the hiccups, the challenges that are most likely unforeseen, by anybody sitting down excuse me, to do any customization work or the people that are requesting it.
I'm just wondering this as well, because it's the okay, so this is probably a bit of an uppercut here, but I'm just going to come out and say this, is that the one thing I've noticed in the this is like in the consulting world for anything, and it's like, and this is perfectly okay, by the way, but I will frame it like this, is that when it comes to SharePoint customization, I kind of refer to it as the SharePoint customization mafia. And what I mean by that is that for all of these companies, these, you know, call it consulting companies that do the third-party customization stuff, there is a general agreed-upon consensus, I think, amongst all of them that tend to be, hey, we know this is worth a lot of money, so we are all going to continually charge at this level to at least enter a level playing field at a certain price point before there's even any negotiation. So there's that unto itself, I think personally is a challenge for a lot of companies to overcome, because regardless of what you're looking at, there's going to be a scenario of, hey, if I have company A, B, and C in front of me as consultants that can do SharePoint customization, they're all going to be charging me almost the exact same thing. Now, simultaneously as well, and I think this is where we get under the hood on, I'll call it sort of this realm of digital transformation scenarios, there seems to be kind of two worlds of thought when it comes to, and you know, I'll use the term in air quotes here, of platform. There's platforms that are pre-configured out of the box. Basically, you know, you can just, you know, kind of configure it the way that you want, because everything is already there. And then you have obviously those, you know, a platform similar to SharePoint or SharePoint that are more along the lines of customization, which we're talking about right now as far as like, you know, like these prices and everything that goes along with it. And I think like one of the other hidden costs, like let's level the playing field entirely, Grant, and let's talk about it from this perspective. Say, for instance, a consultant comes in and they really have their processes locked down in the sense of it completely does away with everything that you were talking about as far as mission creep and those kind of things. And, well, this is what I wanted, but it's not quite what I got and those kind of things. Say their intake and planning processes are perfect. They align everybody. That you can see the North Star. They get to the North Star. It's exactly what you want. But the one of the things that I found with SharePoint, which is an odd, brilliant pricing model, but odd, I think, for the customer consumer of SharePoint as well. Yeah, SharePoint is quote unquote free, depending on your licensing and what you have through Microsoft. Great. But then there's all of these add-on, I don't know if I want to call them apps or whatever it may be, but it's like, oh, you want an analytics component? That's, you have to buy this app that enables that within your SharePoint instance, and then it can be customized to your liking. And then, oh, you want, you know, an AI component placed in for, you know, kind of a machine learning scenario. And okay, well, that's X amount. And then just to have access to the ability to do that. And then again, the cost placed on per user. And so there seems to be this, you know, yes, there's an app for that, but at a cost. And I often wonder whether or not people realize going into it on day one that there are the additional SharePoint costs on top of the consulting costs. So where does that land, do you think, as far as the mindset goes? Again, like, let's level that playing field. Everybody's going to get exactly what they want. But where do you think those surprises come in as far as when it comes to the costing side as well?
Yeah, I mean, okay, so you make a good point as far as let's live in this environment where everybody knows what they exactly want, which, you know, the relative percentage of that truly happening is, in my opinion, close to zero. But
hey, look, it's fantasy land, but this is all about fantasy.
Exactly. That's a good place where it is there. So It reminds me of that back to school scene with Rodney Dangerfield where the professor's trying to teach them, you know, the true cost of opening a company, and Rodney's like, you're leaving out a ton of things. So
yeah. Where are you building this company? Fantasyland? Exactly. One of my favorite
exactly, yeah. That's it.
Favorite scenes for someone that works in business, you know, it's the
and I'm using that reference because of what you had suggested about the mafia side. But but anyway, fair enough. Let's assume that we've detailed out our requirements. We have a bulletproof set of requirements. We know exactly what you want. You know, the model has been, from Microsoft and others, the model's been, here's the base rudimentary layer, and in order not to charge you $1 million for a license of a piece of software, what we'll do is we'll put all these different modules in place and all these different add-ons that you can have, and they'll give you what you want. So it's like supersizing your fries. You walk in and you say, this is what I, you know, what I need, and they go, great, the base one does some of those things, and if you want this, then that's an addition. If you want this, that's an addition. And so that changes dramatically the number at the end of the day. But, you know, you've already kind of accepted the baseline price as something that's palatable. And then in order to maintain all the functions that you want to have or all the things that you need once they establish your requirements, you know, that price can go up very, very quickly, but you're kind of already in the web at that point, right? You've already kind of decided that this is an approach I'm taking. You've done your analysis based on the base level price, only to find out that there's a whole bunch of add-ons that are going to end up costing you more money. The second thing, you go back to, you're right about the fact that typically to do an implementation, the prices are going to be similar. I don't think it's so connected or so Machiavellian that, you know, everybody sat around and said, hey, this is what we're going to charge. It's not so much driven by that. It's driven by the workforce. You have a limited number of people capable of doing whatever it is that you want to do in SharePoint. It's just the way it is right now. They seem to poach each other's companies all the time, looking for best of breed in those particular places. Those guys want more and more and more money each time because there's a limited, it's economies of scale. So, and a supply and demand issue. So you have a limited supply of folks that are capable in doing all of those levels of custom code configuration type setups. And so they have to pay those resources what they have to pay them. And as a result, they all need to make some kind of margin on what they're doing. So the prices go up significantly, and that market is driven by how many people are able and available. And so the more adoption to using SharePoint customization drives the price of the SharePoint customization up significantly, just because there aren't folks that can do it. And so instead of putting a team on there that's here's what my daily rate is, they have to charge premiums on that because it's difficult to find people and consistency. And if someone leaves halfway through, then you have to bring somebody up to speed again. So there's a lot of areas where it becomes inefficient to custom code stuff.
Well, it definitely is a cutthroat industry for sure. I know people that work in the realm of SharePoint, and you know, they've told me all the horror stories where it's, you know, in say like in Canada and the US, is there are not a lot of companies, like reputable companies, that really do this. And the issue becomes is that when you have a handful of companies, and as you said, only a finite number of SharePoint customization professionals, it creates its own arms race just within the industry alone. And I think that's what, you know, going back to my statement on the SharePoint mafia thing, you're absolutely right. Like, I don't think anybody ever, you know, it's not like all the owners of these companies get together and go, all right, conspiracy time.
Yeah, right? there's no collusion here. That's not, no. It, under no circumstances. But at the same time, you know, when everybody prices out a job, if it's custom work, you're banking the number of resources times the number of days. And if you look at what it costs you from a resource perspective and number of days, and everybody is overbidding your price and you're getting a lot of work, once you get a lot of work, it tends to the model of, okay, I've got more work than I can handle right now, so the next job I quote is going to be 20% higher And if I get it, great. And if I don't get it, it's okay because I've got enough work already. So mm-hmm. when there's, it's like anything else. It's the contractors that do stuff around my house right now charge a 40% premium because they know that everybody else is doing it. And the only reason they know that is because there's so much of a backlog right now that they can throw a quote out there for a really high price. And if they get the work, they know that nobody else has time to do it either. So every quote after that goes out at that price. I mean, who would have believed that before COVID started, people would be paying $4 a roll for toilet paper? But, you know, as soon as there was no toilet paper on the shelves, people were willing to pay whatever they needed to get it. So, yeah, you know, so there's lots of things that contribute to the factors of the price. But really, it comes down to the resources to keep people in place, how valuable those resources are because there's a limited supply and there's a lot of demand. And therefore, that's going to drive the price up.
So now that we know that, you know, I mean, obviously we established this idea, and again, right, it's there's all of the trials, the tribulations, and, you know, call it that global acceptance of like just the astronomical pricing around SharePoint. And it's, you know, because I think everybody, I think it also goes back to, you know, that old saying of like, no one ever got fired for buying IBM, right? Like it's that kind of thing. And the SharePoint, you know, Microsoft is the same way. But let's talk about the alternatives, because as I was saying before, there's kind of two worlds, right? There is the platforms that are built on the concept, as you said, of like, you know, call it apps, modules, all those types of things that you can add on to. And that way, you know, you're not paying millions right out of the box for some kind of like, you know, this sprawling mass of functionality. But then simultaneously on the other side, I mean, as we see digital transformation fully take place, and I say that, by the way, not in the marketing term digital transformation. Like I truly mean that by, you know, this idea of dissolving silos within organizations and seeing how there's a lot of companies now that are developing platforms that are meant to connect and speak with other major business systems, because that's the way the world works now. We're all connected to multiple platforms all day, every day. You know, that's just a given at this point. But let's talk about that difference, right? Because there are so many platforms out there that have that interconnectivity benefit that also have, you know, disregarded maybe even this idea of customization. On some of our previous podcasts, we've discussed this idea as well, is that there's, you know, when it comes to workflows, processes, at least in what we do as far as, you know, the document management platform side of things, and, you know, whether that's, you know, workflow management, case management, all the different things that are, you know, we have called solutions for, you know, we had that conversation a couple podcasts ago where it's like, you know, it's almost the stealing like an artist scenario, right? Is that there's no need to go into this in-depth reverse engineering months of work to try to understand how a workflow works and those kind of things. It's just kind of pre-configured and you just set it up, no code, just, hey, I'm just going to tweak this slightly to configure it kind of the way I want and move on. And there's a lot of platforms out there that now do that, not just in our kind of world, I'll say again, like as, you know, the document management side of things, but just in everything, right? Like there's so many different things that you can log into today, put in a credit card, just go, yeah, you can just go and set up some workflows and whatever you want, whether it's project management, whatever. So I'm going to ask you the big philosophical question, I guess, at this point. Why? Why is there two very different schools of thought on one is completely developed in and around customization and one world that is completely developed in and around the idea of just configure it the way you want and away you go because everything has already been done. You're good. You choose your own adventure and everything is just there for you to be able to do within a couple days and, you know, off to the races. Why is the business world split down the middle like that?
I think it's, to be honest with you, I think it's client perception. at the end of the day. And when I say client perception, it's this. Every client that I come across, for some reason, thinks that their business process is potentially unique.
And well, I don't isn't understand. Everyone a unique and beautiful snowflake?
Well, yes, but it's now degrees of uniqueness, right? That's the question. So what happens is a client,
completely different.
I've had clients that.
Insurance company, right?
I'm sorry?
I said my insurance company is completely different than every other insurance company. Really?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So what happens is every client, I have clients that come up to me and they go, well, you know, we're a very unique department. We're a very unique company. And this is how we do things. And yet when we actually go ahead and configure the application, 90% of my clients have exactly the same requirement. It's tweaking. But if they've gone into it thinking they're unique, then they don't see and don't adapt their business process to fit the product. They try and adapt the product to fit their process. And in a COTS application, which is configurable, depending on the level of configurability, that can meet or not meet those specific requirements, in which case their option is to build whatever they want from scratch. But you can, I mean, it's pretty easy to make the argument that going and buying a car off the lot, and of course not with today's prices being at the R, but typically buying a car off the lot is a lot cheaper than going to the parts counter and ordering one of everything. It's just not going to happen. So, but that's really what happens when you try and customize.
Yeah.
Right? And options are difficult. I've always said options suck, and that applies to almost everything in life. If you have one path to take, you focus on that one path. When you have five options or five different roads you can travel, it's a conundrum all the time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, having these options causes a level of confusion. Having modules to a baseline piece of software, the concept is to make life easier for you to pick and choose, plug and play, and pick the parts you want. But it almost doesn't work. You know, it can become overwhelming unless you really have a good foundation of what you need, when you need it, and then once you've priced that out, you can understand what you're comparing apples against apples with. You'll see that having a no-code configuration software is by far the cheapest alternative. However, the argument sometimes gets made that, yes, that's true, but it represents 95% of what I want to accomplish, not 100%. So where's is the last 10% of that worth 80% of the cost? For some organizations, they may say yes. For a lot, they say no. And so you have two roads to follow, and both of those greens make sense.
Yeah, let's end on this topic because I think this is the kind of the perfect point in which these two subjects kind of converge. There is a confluence of call it ability here. Cause like you said, like this is where it gets, when I mentioned before that there are a lot of platforms out there now that, again, based on the concept of digital transformation, that perfectly integrate with other platforms. So now, does that represent theoretically the best of both worlds? So let's talk about a 90-10 split. For instance, right? So you said, like, let's say that a platform does 90% of everything you want it to do, but there's 10% that it's like, yeah, this is like really specific to this other platform that we really, really want to use. And we'll call it, you know, let's actually here. Let's be self-serving for a moment, but only in the sense of because we know our side of the equation as well as the other. So let's talk about Work Dynamics and SharePoint as both the best of both world options because they easily connect to one another. Can someone get all of the functionality that they want out of both in the sense of this idea like, okay, Work Dynamics does 90% of everything that I want and in a far less expensive manner and also adds in like all the other things that modules would otherwise cost, like things like analytics, things like workflow management, all the, you know, all the stuff that's just kind of baked into our platform. Okay, it connects into SharePoint. And that 10% of SharePoint might be something along the lines of, well, we really need to lock down our, you know, say, document storage to the point because the type of organization we are, whether it's like big enterprise or government, and there's, you know, there's all the legalities around it and compliance and that kind of stuff. And we really have to make sure that no one has access to this stuff unless it's fully granted on this side of things in SharePoint. Mm-hmm. Can the two of those come together and create the absolute perfect package at a fraction of the cost? Because you're not doing all of the configuration and customization, I should say, on the SharePoint side.
Yeah, my answer to that is absolutely. But, you know, like everything else, you're putting building blocks together, right? And so you have to look at what does the COTS application A look like? What does COTS application B look like? How do those, the interoperability between those? Mm-hmm. Do I need to train people on two pieces of software? I mean, there's lots of factors that come into play, but I would say generally speaking, buying a car rather than trying to build it yourself, you end up with a way better product if you allow them to do all the research, all the building, all the design, everything else, and then you figure out how to make those two things work together. I think that's you get a much better product at the end of the day than if you try and design and build something yourself. And at a fraction of the cost. And when I say fraction of the cost, I'm talking about all the research dollars that are put in, all the development effort, all of the testing that happens, all of those types of things. You end up with a way better product at the end of the day if you amalgamate a few components. But you have to find the right components that make your 100%. The problem I say about the 100%, we're comparing a 90% solution to a 100% solution. My experience is this. I don't care if you sit down and design the best requirements document you can put on the face of the planet and you have the best development team in the face of the planet, you're still not going to get to 100%. And you're going to get to 100%. Even if you do get it to 100% or whatever as close as you can get to 100%, it's going to be defunct as soon as you release the software because your business process changes by 5%, which means your software is out by 5%. So. Right. It's an evolutionary place. The only difference between a low code, no code, and a customized solution is how fast you potentially could react if you know the stuff, how fast you could react to making those edits. And if they're in the wheelhouse of the COTS solution, it's usually a lot faster to reconfigure than it is to recode. If they're not in the solution, what you're wanting to do or the changes you want to make are not a part of the COTS solution, then you run the difficulty of having to reach out to the organization and ask them to somehow put that skill set into the software.
And that's the re-engagement factor too, right? I mean, if you're looking at a consultancy scenario of, say, in SharePoint, if there's changes to be made, you got to be reaching out to those guys continually. That's a cost that also gets added on top of it. I think also what a lot of people tend to forget is, and this is where we can bifurcate these two types of platforms, right? The configurable versus customization side of the equation is that the configurable platforms, and again, I'll just use Work Dynamics because we know it, that's just part of the platform. It's evergreen. It's always being updated and there's, constant updates to add in new cool functionality and those kind of things. And it's not to say that SharePoint doesn't do that, but again, it's that modular scenario and recosting and then bringing in the consultants, as well as I think a lot of the times too with SharePoint is also, it falls under that realm of you are your own software company internally now too, right? It's like whether you're going to have external or internal specialists to be able to continually tweak, continually monitor, continually field help desk questions, continually upgrade, those kind of things, is that aspect as well. And lastly, like there's a point here, and I'm really actually interested to get your insight into this, because obviously like you know this world better than anyone I know. I've often said that when it comes to that feature functionality, like if you look at those spec docs that, we get as a company all the time, right? You look at it and go, yeah. Wow, that's a that's a lot of feature functionality. And it's like, yeah, we can give this to you. Absolutely. But I go back to, and I'll use another Microsoft product just as the Microsoft Word. Now, Microsoft Word has, I don't know, thousands of features and functionality baked into it that 2% of power users or even 1% of power users know how to use. Right. Every single person in business that I've ever talked to, they go, I don't know, I open up Microsoft Word and I start typing, and sometimes I bold a title, and sometimes I use bullet points and maybe put in a table or two. And, you know, if they consider themselves a power user, if they could actually just apply styles.
Yeah, exactly.
Things. And it's like, okay, but you've scratched, like, you know, probably not even 1% of the surface of what Microsoft Word can do for you. But simultaneously, everybody loves it. They just work in it every day, and it's just one of those tools that's like, it's just right there. It's great. I just use it all the time. So that also is an equation, right? Is that, like, when you're putting these spec docs together of all of this North Star scenario of, yes, this is going to be the ultimate. This is every feature, functionality. You know, you've mentioned things like training and all those kind of things that go into these things. How many users really ever truly even scratch the surface of the feature functionality within our own platform in that sense, right? Because, like, our platform's a million miles deep. Like, you can make it do anything. But it's like, at the end of the day, people are like, I don't know, I open it up and I access the document and make sure that the workflow is correct. And it's, you know, we from intake and we apply it, and it just goes through the, you know, assigned to people, and I can see who's working on it and when it's due. And yeah, okay, that's cool. Is that the most, like, you know what I mean? For the majority, if we look at that 90-10 split, if there's a different equation on, like, I don't know, 99% of users are going to use 5% of that 90%.
Yeah.
Within the system.
You know, that's a really interesting conundrum that we face on a regular basis. And I'm not saying just us. Anybody that's in the software business faces that. So requirements documents will come out for an RFP or whatever you want to call it, just a quote on, right? And so here's all the things that some guy in IT thought would be a good idea to include in the RFP for capability. And so we go through and we figure out, can we do this? Can we do this? Can we do all these functions? Can we perform all these actions? Yes, we can. Great. So we respond to the RFP. Then we get to a stage where we're actually configuring the software, and they go, well, we don't really need that. We don't want to have that in there. And I'm like, okay, but you asked for it in the RFP. And they say, yeah, but we might want to do it down the road, so we want to know that the software is capable of doing it. Okay, fair enough. Then we get to the training stage, and we tell everybody, okay, we're going to design a training package around the configuration that you've put in place. And they say, yeah, some of our users need to get trained on that, because some of the users will use those functions, but most of our users don't need to know how to do that. So you've picked a solution for the one guy who wants to use every feature, who needs to be trained on every feature, for the majority that never touch all of the in-depth features. It's a really interesting position how they will go and pick a configurable piece of software and then not train the user base because they feel like they're smart enough they can pick it up. But they've put these very advanced functions into the software and they've isolated the software based on those functions, and the majority of the users don't use it in the first place. So it's a really interesting dynamic where it's like, we want to be prepared for every possible fallout, but we don't foresee that happening on a regular basis, and most of our people don't actually use it. So it's a tough spot where, and we go into clients all the time and they say, well, you don't have this function. And we go, yes, we do. But you guys didn't implement it when you could have implemented it. And we let your administrator know that they could have implemented this through configuration, but they haven't, because there's a disconnect between the user community, the business process community, and the IT guy who supports the application. And so it's really hard to make sure those are always linked together.
My favorite is the RFP that comes out that says, you know, a five-year-old technology must have 15 years experience. That's
You must have 15 years experience implementing this software that only came out last year.
Exactly.
Great. So I got 15 people with 1 year experience. Does that count?
Absolutely.
Yeah, should.
So Grant, it's been a pleasure. Let's summarize this way, is that if anyone, you know, obviously there's a lot of users of SharePoint, I'm sure, that's listening to this. You want to save, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars and still have the exact same experience, probably actually, I dare say, far better. Why? By still using all the core functionality of SharePoint, but not spending the millions of dollars on customization. We can absolutely help you with that. So visit our website, give us a call, fill out the forms, go check out our blogs or any of the assets that we have on our website that explains this in more detail. I'm sure you appreciate the read. And Grant, appreciate our chats as always. Next time.
It's been great. It's gloomy outside, but I'm having a good time doing these podcasts, so thank you.
There you go. All right, thanks, everyone.
Take care. Bye-bye. Until next time.